Mark, can you hear me? This is Greg calling in.
All right. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Mark, yeah. I got you.
All right. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I have no idea what is going on. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
But,
welcome, folks, to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. We started a little late tonight, but we're going to make it.
Somehow.
I apologize, folks, for the inconvenience of not hearing my
beautiful
voice.
Wow,
I've got a lot of followers in now. I should do this more often. All right, let's run down the list of buzzers row here tonight. We have area code 978. I'm guessing that would be Greg Crisp. What's going on, man?
That would be me, yep. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Yeah, still have
Mark.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you got headphones on, man?
No, I had to use my phone.
Oh, okay. You're getting feedback, then. That's what's going on.
Is it better now?
No. Because I heard Greg.
I don't know what's
Greg,
going on.
Greg, give me a 1-2-3.
1-2-3. How you doing, Chip?
Good, man. You sound good. Rob, you there? Rob?
Rob just dropped.
Okay. Chuck's on.
Yep.
What's going on, Chuck?
What's going on?
Yeah. Do you also have the show playing through your speakers on your
No, I've turned everything off, man.
Yeah, you got a pretty bad echo going.
I don't know what's going on. Hang on, let me see. I will call right back.
Wait. Hopefully it won't end the show. Oh, wait a minute. You just dropped, but you're still on the host. Wheeler, are you still there? How's he dialed in as the host?
Maybe his connection worked and he didn't think it worked.
Maybe, yeah, because I still got him signed in as the host, as landing crew.
So?
Hold on, he dropped. All right, give him a second. It says there's a problem. There's no host. Who else is there? Who's four? That's me. That's Chuck, and that's Greg. Okay. All right. Well, it's Kite Christian Radio, Mid-Atlantic. How's it going tonight, guys?
Doing how's that pretty sound?
Good. You hear me now?
Are you back, Wheeler? Yeah.
Alright. Are you sure? Am I are we kosher? Oh, jeez.
This sounds much better.
Alright. I don't know what was going on.
I'm
going
to have to pull chocks in a sec. I got to go to the airport and pick up the wife. She's been out of town, so.
Okay.
But, all right. You got the dot, man.
All right. Have fun. I have it. All right, man. Talk to you later. All right, folks. Sorry about the inconvenience. Again, this is Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. If you're sitting there trying to figure out on the podcast what is going on, can't help you with that, what was going on, but we fixed it, and now we are back. Again, my host, your hostess with the mostest is Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler. That would be me. We have Buzzard Row, a good Buzzard Row tonight. We got a Greg Crisp, always a fan of Mid-Atlantic Show. What's going on, Greg?
Not much. Sort of excited with the vote that happened on Menhaden today.
I've been trying to figure out what's been going on with that. How did it roll out for us?
Well, I'm not there, unfortunately. I'm stuck working in Connecticut this week. But I'm reading online on Facebook. The Menhaden defenders have posted, we have victory on our hands.
Oh,
and,
wow.
The one that they approved was the they put up equals a 37% reduction in the overall take coastwide.
That is awesome.
Yep. They received 90,000 plus comments on the issue.
Numbers.
Yeah, it looks like our voice has actually got heard over Omega's money this time.
Yeah, I'm so excited right now. You know, and you know what? Those Occupy folks need to take a notice of that. You know, we did this correctly, and look what happened. Looks, man, I'm so excited right now. Woo! So excited. That's awesome. 30% reduction. That is huge.
Yep, 37.
37%?
Yep.
Wow.
Coastwide.
That is...
That's the 30% MSP, but equals a 37% reduction in the overall take.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is really, really good news for all the fisheries.
Yeah. Cool. And we also have Mr. Red Fish Chuck. What is going on, man?
What's going on, brother?
Not much, brother. Not much at all. Kind of have some technical difficulties.
Victory.
Yeah, I mean, that's not just all ours. It's every angler's victory. You know, this is something that is going to affect the snook population and the trout and reds for you down there. You know, including the tarpon, and then your offshore pelagics, you know, all the way up to Maine, and the swordfish and the stripers and the blues, and you know, we might actually see, you know, the bay actually start to come back the way, you know, everyone's been talking. Well, we got to make the bay better. Well, now, you know, hopefully this will help. And man, say I'm excited is an understatement. But oh man, this is great. We also have in the house, Mr. Rob, a bad back ass divorce. What's going on, man?
What's happened? What happened, man? Did you get your, everything sorted out there? I called in and it was like feedback and all sorts of nastiness.
Yeah. I guess I should have switched to a Mac, huh?
No, I don't know what happened, man. That was really bad. You were echoing and everything. It was pretty bad, but I'm glad you got it fixed. Technical issues are a drag when you're doing live radio.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the subject of the night. you know, granted, folks, it's still a long way off, but if you talk to anyone who's an avid listener or a member of YakAngler.com, the big thing coming up in the next few months is the Chokoloski Boondoggle with the Yak Angler and Kayak Fishing Radio down in Chokoloski, Florida. It is going to be stellar. I am so excited. And the reason for that, folks, and the reason we're going to talk about tonight is how do you pre-plan for something that is, what, 5 months out now?
Yeah.
Hey. Do you hear me?
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay. I got my phone started beeping at me. Great. More problems. But... you know, what would you start doing? And I'm going to explain how I am already planning for it and how I'm looking ahead. So this way, you know, come February 1st or February 15th, you know, the week before the boondoggle, I'm not losing my mind trying to figure out what to do, how to get the money, how to do this and that. So I want to start off by explaining what I have already started doing. The first thing is I started scouting. And you go, well, how do you scout? You're all the way up in Virginia. Well, that's a very valid point. But, you know, you can start scouting early as possible. And you take this from any bass fisherman or any hardcore guide, charter captain, freak of nature who can't get enough fishing. I have no idea who that might be. But, hint, hint. You know, but they go ahead and they start looking at maps. Okay, not just the general area, not, you know, a one-mile square map. They look at everything. Folks, I'm looking from St. Pete all the way down to Miami-Dade, that whole coastline. And then I'm looking at areas that, okay, if I was going to go fishing down there, and for whatever reason, the main area I was going to be targeting was something happened. They closed down the beach. They closed down the waterway. There was a toxic spill. My mother-in-law would show up. You never know. What would I go to next? And that, you know, and I would start planning for that. You know, also using satellite images. Folks, there's a million different websites out there with satellite images of different types, with bird's eye views and bug eye views. You name it, it's out there. You know, and be able to sit there and go, okay, when was this photo taken, quote-unquote? Most of the time you can figure out the year. They'll be usually be in one of the corners telling you this was taken, you know, in 2011 or 2010 or whatever. And then you get an idea of how new it is, what would change. And personally, I go through and I look at, were there any major storms that hit that area? Weather.com, weather.gov, fish weather, all have histories. And if you look at the histories and go down them and go, okay, there was a storm that hit there, and from news reports that they added to this, you know, part of this beach, you know, from here and here, you know, lost half its mangroves. So I look, and I'm like, okay, it's this area. It's showing here that those mangroves are gone. Okay, so now I got to adjust what I'm thinking. And it gets very in-depth, and it takes a lot of time, and it's a great way to get yourself all psyched up way beforehand. You know, and then look at the Farmer's Almanac. What kind of weather is it like down there? This is before I've talked to anyone who lives down there, any of the guides or anything else, you know, and got an idea of what I'm dealing with. If, you know, and I did this with the Jacksonville boondoggle, and thank God I did, because I hadn't already had an idea of what I was getting myself into. I wasn't going down there and fishing an area that had, A, no fish that time of year, or B, had, you know, a difficulty level that as a semi-experienced kayaker would have a situation with. And then, of course, you got to fall into the gear. Start, you know, looking at your gear. Do I have the gear essential to what kind of species are going to be down there? Folks, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be trout, there's going to be reds, there's going to be the possibility of snook, possibility of tarpon, peacock bass, a small child, that go down the shore. Folks, sharks, oh, man, I'm so excited for sharks. I love catching sharks.
Haywood is planning on getting this. If you were to fish at the pier with Haywood at night, he's got the line on shark fishing, apparently.
Cool. Yeah, I'm a shark freak. I love hooking in sharks. They're just so much fun. And very primal, and that's, you know, that's the draw to them. You know, so you got to look at your gear. If you fish freshwater bass in, you know, Wisconsin, and you don't fish for muskie or anything else, and your gear only is quarter to half ounce spinning tackle, you might not want to take that for snook. You know, so you got to think about purchasing, you know, newer gear, and, you know, just to be set on what you're looking to do. And then, of course, everything is, you know, money-driven. If you can't do it, then you make do. But, you know, that you know, and of course, you got to get into camping gear and how you're going to spend your time. That's for another show.
Greg, Mark, the first thing that people need to do when planning for, if they're going to the Chocolosky Boondoggle, is book your accommodation, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, go to the Boondoggle page. If you can't, if it's booked up, I'm already booked up. I'm already in. I'm ready to go. But if you can't find it, email us, and we'll help find you accommodations close by. It doesn't mean that you're going to be out of the loop or anything like that. You just might not be camping with everybody, but that doesn't matter because we all manage to get together anyway. So
yeah. And I think you can
definitely
three tents per site, you know, so
I'm not
there's
sure.
Nothing wrong with parking your truck in a parking lot and then throwing your camping gear all together in one camping spot, you know. We've done that before. So, you know, I think we had I did a trip down to Columbus, Georgia. And, you know, we had, I think I had four
was
tents
that the Lake
in one
Harding?
Campsite. Yeah, that was the Lake Harding trip.
Was that the Lake
trip.
Harding trip?
Yeah. Four small tents, my truck parked in there because I was sleeping in my truck. You know, I did a trip to Bear Lake up here in Virginia. And then I think there was like 10 tents to one 120 by, you know, 25, you know, tent site. You know, one of those little coffin-style tents, you know, and we make do so everyone can stay together, and cause that's what it's all about. It's togetherness and fishing. And is that why we fish anyway?
We do have one rule, though. If you use bait, which I don't advise using bait, but if you use bait, all of the bait has to go in the landing crew's truck.
Oh, yeah, definitely do that. And see how fast my foot doesn't get put in someone's rear end. Which is, that would be awful, man. That happened to me in Jacksonville, folks. I had it all planned out. I was going to sleep in the bed of my truck. I was going to be happy. Actually, about the second night, I went to crack the seal on my my camping shell on the top of my truck, and it hit that smell of, you know, bait that's been sitting in a hot truck all day hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, oh, I cannot sleep in there.
Oh, dude, I felt bad for you because, you know, you got the bed liner of your truck and then you've got an egg crate thing to sleep on, an egg crate mattress thing. And the folks, I spent 5 days on one of those in Colorado, and I can tell you, it's definitely one of the most uncomfortable things in the world to sleep on. So get you a throw vest, to get you an air mattress, something. But
yeah,
book your site, and we'll see you there, man. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, definitely. So, Greg, I got to ask you, man, how are you getting ready with your northern exposure lifestyle up there?
I wish I could say I was in the process of getting ready, but the last month I've been working just insane hours. But as soon as this ends, which looks like it's ending about Thanksgiving, you know, I'll start looking at the maps, like you said. I have the Navionics maps on my computer, you know, which are great. They're easy to use. But you can also get, you know, good charts and download them for free on NOAA. And, you know, looking at those charts, you do have to be aware that, you know, charts are old. You know, things change with the storms and stuff. But, you know, looking at the, you know, the different areas around where we're going to be camping, you know, looking for those fishy spots, going to Google or Bing Maps, you know, and looking, zooming in at the areas, seeing what they look like, seeing if either of them, you know, have a low tide picture.
Yeah,
and then,
you know, one thing that doesn't change I've found is oyster bars. That's a little tip.
Yep.
Oyster bars don't move like sand. They like to stay in one area. So if you see an oyster bar, take a mental note, picture, GPS coordinate, whatever you want, because oyster bars don't move. And there are so many at Chokoloskee, my GPS is filled with numbers.
It's definitely oyster bar city down there. The oysters do move from time to time if you have a catastrophic weather event like a hurricane or something.
Right.
They can get damaged. If a, say a boat gets loose, it can definitely damage an oyster bar. Not to the extent where it won't be there anymore, but they can get damaged. Also, if you have a catastrophic weather event like lots of rain, like for some reason it rained for a month straight around here, okay, like really, really heavy duty rains and flooding and everything like that, that'll change the salinity
right.
of the water. And if you know anything about oysters, they're very, very susceptible to salinity changes. Now, if you get too much salinity, it's not good for them. If it's the water's too salty, if it's over 200 parts per million, you know, on the fresh side, if they get too much fresh water, it'll kill them. And also, you know, if you do have a nice, healthy oyster bar, it does the one oyster predator, which is called an oyster drill. It's kind of like a parasite, and it basically is exactly that. It just drills into the oyster, and it just eats them. You know, it drills a hole in it, eats it, and those are always present. Oyster drills are present when the salinity is the best for the oyster. So if you see an oyster, a healthy oyster bar, chances are there's going to be oyster drills around.
Right.
And that will definitely kill an oyster bar. When the oyster bar dies, it eventually crumbles and kind of goes away. It just turns into like a pile of crushed up oyster shells, you know, for the most part.
Which is quintessential bait and, you know, fish holding areas.
Yeah, absolutely. But it does happen. You know, you get salinity changes for a significant period of time. Maybe there's something that, like I said, a catastrophic weather event that can change the tidal flow or the water flow to keep that oyster bar from, if it was in a mid-tide area where it's going to be, you know, underwater for a long period of time and then, you know, low tide hits and it changes that for some reason, then that's not good for the oyster bar either. They can't survive more than for a very extended period of time out of water. So that's one thing to pay attention to. Also, if you're looking for topo maps and things of that nature, nautical topographic maps, you can get those for free in just about every coastal area in the United States at NOAA.com. NOAA, the National, help me out here.
Oceanic Atmospheric Association.
There it is. you can get nautical charts there for free, so you can see depths and depth changes, and they're pretty much up to date.
Yeah,
they might not be up to the minute, but I believe they changed those
every few years.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Chuck, what do you? Are you going to head to the Boondoggle this year?
I didn't catch it, buddy. What'd you say?
Are you headed to the Boondoggle this year?
I'm going to try my best to get there.
All right. So, when you're pre-planning, you know, for a trip or a fishing excursion, you know, with some, and you still have some time before it, how do you get started, you know, with your process of getting ready?
I think the most important thing for me is to figure out what my target species is going to be, what I really want to target, because then I can kind of, from there, I can break it down pretty easy. Fish, you know, to me, the thing about it is a redfish here is going to do the same thing a redfish there is going to do for the most part. It's just, you know, a redfish is a redfish is a redfish.
Right.
And the areas in which that fish wants to feed and wants to hang out and spend his day are pretty similar. So the thing for me to find out, the most important thing is to try and get the local knowledge of, okay, what are they feeding on this time of year? What's going on in your area? What's your go-to baits? You know, because that could definitely vary. Because, I mean, we've got a lot more bait on my coast than there is on the West Coast as far as big baits. So, you know, you guys got a lot of, I mean, Robin and I have a lot of, like, white bait, pilchards, thread fins, that kind of thing. Well, we don't see the big numbers of those over here. So that would be something that I'd want to know is, you know, what are these fish feeding on? What tide do they prefer the most? Because it's definitely very tidal driven down there. And then, you know, go over my gear with a fine-tooth comb, because the last thing you want to do is go on a trip and then have a bunch of busted stuff when you get there.
Right.
I usually do a good reel service prior to going anywhere. You know, pull the reel completely down to nothing and then pull all the old grease out of it, put new grease in it, and, you know, start from scratch. New line, that kind of thing. I don't leave anything to chance if I'm going to make a road trip, so.
Right. Oh, yeah. And that's why I take my Bass Pro Shop or small bait and tackle store with me. I never want to be to have a situation. And you can ask Rob. I mean, I was like, all right, man, get in time to get in the truck when I picked him up for the Jacksonville trip. And he's like, so where am I sitting? I had tackle boxes. I had rods. I had everything. Well, no, I had a kitchen sink. So, yeah, I had everything that I would need in case, you know, of any situation. I even had a surf rod just in case. So, you know, that's what, you know, folks, if you can start now, start your pre-planning. So let's go over what the top three things you need to start doing if you are going to the Chokoloski Boondoggle or any boondoggle or any long extended fishing trip away from home. Book your accommodations early. The earlier, the better. If you can do them as far out as you can, definitely, definitely do that. This way you have peace of mind that you have someplace to sleep and not in a Walmart parking lot. you know, next thing you'll want to do is, you know, the gear. Look over your gear. Look over the species you're going to be going after. Gear and species are one and one. And, you know, fishing gear is definitely important because that's the main objective. But look over your tent, look over your sleeping bag, look over, you know, if you're going to, you know, have a little camp stove, check that out. Make sure you have everything in line or have a list of stuff that you are going to need that you can buy, you know, slowly as the time, you know, comes closer. Next thing you're going to want to look at is, you know, the area. Look at the weather forecast. Is, you know, up here in Virginia, you can explore, let's see, even better, more predictable, Florida. You can basically set your watch to every day when you're going to have a thunderstorm. You know, 4:30, there's going to be a thunderstorm, so I need to be off the water by 4. Kind of situation. That's during the summertime. Up here in Virginia, you can pretty much expect a pop-up thunderstorm at least once or twice a week. So it would behoove you to have a spot or, a, you know, some sort of extra just-in-case device
with some sort of weather reporting, a.k.a. the wife, if you have one, if not a buddy or anything like that, just in case something would ever happen. If you can follow those three things, you know, pre-planning, get your spot, check your gear, you will have a great start and a much more relaxed fishing trip or trip altogether if you can get those three things done early. This way you're not scrambling, you're not stressed out, you're not getting down there, losing your mind, oh my God, I forgot something. So as long as you do that, folks, you'll be in on point. And, you know, on the way, you know, as closer we get to Tokoloski and the Boondoggle, we will talk more about planning and getting ready, and we'll have, you know, captains and guides and the whole kit and caboodle come on the show and talk about the area we're planning on fishing. So we're going to move on to something that I am extremely excited about, and that is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Kayak Kevin's DVD is set for pre-order. Yes, folks, Kayak Fishing the Chesapeake Bay 2 Summer Species is ready to be purchased at kayakkevin.com. Folks, if you are friends with Kevin on Facebook or know of the trouble he's gone through these past few months with getting that DVD all made up, this is a big accomplishment for him. And Kev, if you're listening to the podcast or at home, man, congratulations, brother. You definitely deserve it. You put a lot of hard work into it. So support Kevin and buy this DVD. It's a real, everything I've seen, this is going to be the best one yet. Plus tips and techniques and everything that goes along with it. It's going to be a great, as some people say, fish porn, with some kayaking in between. So definitely check it out. My daughter, she's excited too about it. So definitely pick one up, pick a couple up, make great stocking stuffers. And, again, Chip, Kevin, congratulations, man. All right. And with that, we're going to call it an early night. I actually have a plan to go catch some stripers tonight. So, Greg, you going fishing this weekend, or you going to try to auger through the ice?
Yeah, I probably could. I don't know. It's been warm the past couple days, so the ice may have opened up back home. But I've been down in Connecticut working basically this past month, and actually have to work this weekend, so I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get fishing. Yeah, I've been working most weekends, like three of the last four weekends, so it's been rough, but I got to play a lot over the summer, and I had spent more time fishing this summer than I've been able to do in the last several years, so time to do some pay up for that time, so.
Right. Time to pay the piper,
so it's a good time of year, yeah. Good time of year to work instead of fish, and at least I got the good months under my belt. So.
Right.
But looking forward to February, and who knows, maybe I'll get one or two more trips in if the weather holds out.
Definitely. All right, man. Thanks for calling in. And
no problem.
Hopefully talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right, Rob, you're the West Coast guy.
Yes.
Of Florida.
Yes, sir.
What's,
let's go!
You going after some fish this weekend?
Yeah, actually going Friday. And going to hit the area between Fort DeSoto and the Skyway if it's not too windy.
Cool, man. Yeah, folks, if you ever get a chance, you got to go down to Tampa. It's one of those places where you're driving, you're like, man, there's nothing around here, and you hit this long bridge on top of these islands, and it's just, ooh, I can fish there and there, and ooh, over there kind of situation. It's definitely cool. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. It's like flying over the area, man. It's great.
Yeah. All right, cool, man. Thanks for calling in.
It's, sure.
You know, hey, even though we had all the technical difficulties. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Okay.
We make it work. All right. Chuck, you going fishing this weekend?
No.
Or are you just going to keep blowing really hard to the east to keep that nasty weather away?
Dude, it is nasty over here as far as wind, man. Today the gusts got up to about 30, 35 mile an hour and stayed there for the better half of the afternoon. So fishing this weekend's probably going to be out, but I am actually planning a trip I'm going to talk about on Monday's show. I've got one of the editors from Florida Sportsman Magazine coming down to do some fishing with me, and really excited about that. So, yeah, that's my time from now until the 21st of November is the day that we have it penciled in, is going to be doing nothing but planning. So it'll be interesting.
Awesome, man. Very cool. Well, again, man, thanks for calling in. You know, folks, Rob DeVore and Redfish Chuck are also hosts of shows throughout the week. Chuck does the Monday Night Kickoff show, Get Your Week Started Right. It's a great show. Definitely check it out. A lot of great info, great guests, and just an all-around good guy. All right, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, man. Later.
Later. And, of course, Rob, the Bad Backcast live show, which is Tuesday night. Great show there, too. A lot of good info. And it's another one of those where you can always expect the best out of Rob on Tuesdays. On Wednesday night, you're welcome, man. You're welcome. Remember, folks, Wednesday night is my show. You're listening to it. Hopefully without technical difficulties ever again. You know me, folks. I try to keep things real as much as possible. Thursday night is the original Kayak Fishing Radio Show with Chip the Tree Hugger Gibson. It's always a good show. Definitely check it out. I know I do, and you should too. And then we have the Spike and Ike Show, the West Coast show. Folks, it's a great show. Those two guys are, you know, from California to Oregon to Washington, those guys are on point with that area. And, you know, Dennis Spike is the great-grandfather of kayak fishing. So definitely check that show out. With that, I have rowdy children, and it's time for me to go. Folks, remember, always check us out on the web at kayakfishingradio.com, yakangler.com, for all the recent reports and all the good stuff, too. Check out Yak Angler. And with that, kayakkevin.com, can't say that enough. Go check it out. Get the new DVD. All your friends are buying it, and you should too. All right, folks, with that, I will say it too. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay warm. And hopefully I'll catch you out in the water. Tight lines, everybody. Good night.